Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Saying this, Ramananda Roy began to sing a song he had composed, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of the ecstasy of love of Godhead, immediately covered Ramananda's mouth with his own hand. Purport. The topics that are about to be discussed between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy cannot be understood by a materialistic poet, nor by intelligence or material perception. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur states that the spiritual mellow can be realized only when one is situated on the transcendental platform beyond the material stage of goodness. That platform is called Vishuddha Sattva, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Realization of the Vishuddha Sattva platform is beyond the pale of the material world and is not perceived by bodily senses or mental speculation. Our identification with the gross body and subtle mind is different from spiritual understanding. Since the intelligence and mind are material, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are beyond their perception. Sarva padivane muktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When we are free from all material designations, and our senses are completely purified by the bhakti process, we can understand the sense activities of the Absolute Truth. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ukyate. The spiritual senses are beyond the material senses. A materialist can think only of the negation of material variety. He cannot understand spiritual variety. He thinks that spiritual variety simply contradicts material variety and is a negation or void. But such conceptions cannot even reach the precincts of spiritual realization. The wonderful activities of the gross body and subtle mind are always imperfect. They are below the degree of spiritual understanding and are ephemeral. The spiritual mellow is eternally wonderful and is described as Purna, Shuddha, Nityamukta. That is complete, perfectly pure, and eternally liberated from all material conceptions. When we are unable to fulfill our material desires, there is certainly sorrow and confusion. This may be described as Vivarta. But in spiritual life, there is no sorrow, inebriety, or imperfection. Srila Ramananda Roy was expert in realizing the spiritual activities of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And Ramananda's spiritual experience was placed before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he inquired whether the Lord approved of his realization of spiritual truth. I'll just read on. It's a long purport, but I'll read on more. There are three books prominent in this connection. One was written by Bhakta Das Bola, and it's called Vivarta Vilas. Another was compiled by Jagannanda Pandit, and it's called Prema Vivarta. Sri Ramananda Roy's book is called Prema Vilas Vivarta. The Vivarta Vilas by Bhakta Das Bola is completely different from the other two books. Sometimes a university student or professor tries to study these transcendental literatures and attempts to put forth a critical analysis from the mundane view, with an end to receiving degrees like a PhD. Such realization is certainly different from that of Ramananda Roy. If one actually wants to take a PhD degree from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be approved by Ramananda Roy, he must first become free from all material designations. Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam. Okay, I'm going to pause there. Magyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Suta Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patita Nam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, first of all, let me request the blessings of all the devotees that by your mercy we'll be able to speak something. They will allow us to further explore, understand and glorify these wonderful teachings of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Okay. First of all, greet their lordships if the curtains are opening now. Okay. So while they open. So this is a series of verses. Ramananda Roy is speaking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sri Sri Ram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gaunitai Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. So, these are a series of verses. The conversations between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. In this chain of verses, Ramananda Roy is talking about Srimati Radharani, Krishna's intimate associates in the spiritual world, those in the Madhurya Ras. And we've come to this particular point that Ramananda Roy is about to sing a song in glorification of the divine couple. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now covered the mouth of Ramananda Roy. In the next verse, Ramananda Roy will actually speak a particular verse. And it will be a verse from the perspective of Srimati Radharani. And then the verse consequent is also in glorification of Krishna. And this is the teaching that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. But he is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this combined form has come to not only taste, but also to distribute what he is tasting. So among esoteric teachings, within any aspect of bona fide religion, this is the actual height of it all. Okay? This is the pinnacle of all of this. And we are being privy to this. We are being offered this particular understanding. But now in the purport, Prabhupada is talking about the qualification in order to experience. So there is always this. There is always the offering, and then there is always the qualification that allows one to fully appreciate the offering. As Prabhupada would sometimes say, first deserve and then desire. So in his introduction to the Brahma Samhita, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has stated, the phenomenal attraction is often found to tempt sentient beings to enjoy the variegated position as opposed to undifferentiated monism. People are so much apt to indulge in transitory speculation, even when they are to educate themselves about a situation that lies beyond their empiric area or experiencing jurisdiction. In other words, everyone speculates about God. That's what he's saying. And in this purport, Prabhupada is touching upon that. So what does Prabhupada say? He says that we cannot understand such high topics unless we come to this platform. What does he say specifically? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur states that the spiritual mellow can be realized only when one is situated on the transcendental platform beyond the material stage of goodness. We sometimes see prematurely that devotees will decry the mode of goodness. When you hear devotees do that, you can actually understand. Generally, it means we don't understand what the mode of goodness is. Right? Because the mode of goodness is a very, very high stage. Yeah? Of course, what we're talking about at all times is practicing Krishna consciousness from a certain platform. Okay, so there's a difference between someone who has no connection to Krishna consciousness and is in ignorance, passion, or goodness. It's all bad. Okay, now, that's different from a devotee who wants to get to this platform of Vishuddhasattva. But you start somewhere. And if you read carefully in the 11th canto, there are a series of verses, conversations between Uddhava and Krishna will make that point specifically. He will tell Uddhava, you first, the practitioner first comes to goodness and then gives up goodness for the transcendental platform. Right? Very, very clearly stated in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, just in case anyone has any misconceptions about that. So this is where we're going, though, or where we should be going. And then Krishna consciousness is like that. It is a journey to get to a particular point. Just like when you are, you know, let's say you're standing in front of a wall, and that wall is taller than you are, okay? All you can see is the wall, but someone who's taller, they can look beyond the wall, and they can see that there's something else going on across that particular wall, okay? So these particular modes of material nature, they're like a wall. If you can see above the wall, you'd be amazed to see what's going on behind that particular barrier, huh? So when we go above that particular platform, then we start to see that this world and this gross material reality is a really tiny part of the reality. It's the painful part of the reality. What do we mean by painful? Jama mrityu jara vyadi, dukkha dosha nidashanam. Right? This is the place where all the birth, death, old age and disease happens. But it's not the whole story, ladies and gentlemen. So there's a much greater reality. And that greater reality is what every single one of us are hankering for. The vision of the Shastra is very, very significant in this regards. The vision of the Shastra is literally to help us to see the reality clearly. You see? So what is the difference between the perception of a child and the perception of an adult? The child can put something in their mouth. Right? They can see some mud and put the mud in their mouth. Their perception doesn't go beyond the initial experience. You see? Or the child wants to put their, is looking to put their hand in fire. Again, their perception does not go beyond the initial experience. They don't understand the ramifications of their activity. But what Krishna consciousness, and especially our founder Acharya, is trying to do through the books is give us a full perception. You hit this one domino, this is the chain reaction. Now it's up to you to choose, is this something that you want? Right? You engage in material life. Okay, you're going to grow old, really old. You're going to be diseased and you're going to die. Is this something that you're looking to experience? So it's the entire spectrum of action and reaction. And that is the difference between mature and immature vision. If someone truly sees things as they are, no one would engage in material existence. It's very, very simple. The teachings are so penetratingly beautiful and precise that you can literally see what happens in any activity. You engage in the mode of ignorance, you'll be destroyed. You engage in the mode of passion, you'll be very frustrated. Right? Even though in the beginning it may seem one way. You engage in the mode of goodness, it will be difficult in the beginning, but it will be materially peaceful, but it's not going to give you transcendental bliss. Right? The trouble with the mode of goodness is that it's not good enough. The material mode of goodness, it still carries the quality of ignorance, which is being stated here. The quality of ignorance in the mode of goodness is, I still think I'm this body. And the quality of passion within the material mode of goodness is, I still think that life is about my enjoyment. You see? So when the mode of goodness is good enough, when the mode of goodness is free of any tinge of passion, any tinge of ignorance, that's called Shuddhasattva. That is the Vasudeva platform. And that is the platform from which we can properly understand Radha and Krishna and all of the residents of the spiritual world. So Prabhupada will make this point more than once. And he says it's when our senses are completely purified by the bhakti process. So we are in a process. The biggest issue that our movement often faces is not the process, it's the misapplication of this process. Because the teachings are vast. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhakti Tattva Viveka, he says actually the statements of the Acharya are more important than the Shastra. And he will go on to explain why. Because the Shastra are so vast, we require an Acharya who can select from that vast array of teachings. These are the most specific, prominent, and required teachings for the condition of the living entities of this age. Right? So that's why sometimes people can read and read and read and be confused, confused, and more confused. Unless we have guidance. And then even within that teaching, because it's a journey, we understand that the different, there are some things which will exist across the journey. Okay? And we're given those tools from day one. Right? We'll exist across the journey. First of all, by the way, you're not the body. Right? Sometimes we hear it, it's like, you know, let's get to something a bit more advanced, Prabhu. Right? Okay, we'll get to something a bit more advanced when we have realized this basic point. Just raise your hand, by the way, if you actually have realized that you're not the body. Yeah, that's what I thought. I can't pull up my hands either. Right? Isn't it? And it happens all around the world. And especially as we interface with so much material media, then the material media will reinforce the idea that I'm the body. Right? I had a very interesting conversation with one devotee yesterday. And we were discussing, which is something that's always dear to my understanding, how do we actually change? Right? It can be embarrassing. We hear the same thing year in, year out, and we look into our heart, there's not much difference. Not much difference between last year, the year before, what's going on? And as we were discussing, we had some very, very interesting points that came up. And one is that, are we starving the anattas, or are we feeding the anattas? Because our lifestyle isn't neutral. Often people like to think it is, right? And that's because in the beginning, we have our famous statement, just add Krishna, right? You know, it's just like you have these, like, you know, you have these, like, instant drinks, right? And it says, just add milk, right? So someone says, just add Krishna. Okay, it's a good start. So the point is that we sometimes have these misconceptions. Yes, just add Krishna in the beginning, but it has to be a process. We always need guidance. So this, are we starving the anattas or are we feeding the anattas? Our lifestyle isn't neutral. If we're adding Krishna properly, then the result is that you'll want more Krishna. Why? Because if you're adding Krishna properly, if we're adding Krishna properly, then what is Krishna? Who is Krishna? He's all attractive. So if he's been added properly, you definitely want more. If he's being added properly. If he's not being added properly, it's another story. So we often have these difficulties in application. We don't know where we are. Coordinates unknown. Think about that. You're trying to get somewhere. You know where you want to get to, but you also need to know where you are. Yeah? Imagine, I have this annoying thing on my Google Maps, right? And I'm sure many of you have the same thing. And I don't like having the location on. But when I'm trying to get somewhere, it will ask me, can we turn on the location? Right? And if I say yes, then it will pick up my present condition, my present position, and then it will be able to calibrate between that and where I'm trying to get to. And this is the same thing for us. It's exactly the same thing for us. Where am I? Here in this particular purport, let's see. Prabhupada, he makes so many wonderful points. The spiritual senses are beyond the material senses. A materialist can think only of the negation of material variety. He cannot understand spiritual variety. This is really important. You see, there's so many tricks that Kali Yuga has. And one of them is that in Kali Yuga, ignorance is confused for intelligence. So people will just speak with so much arrogance. And they'll say things like, well, if there's a God, you know, why are people suffering? As if that's actually a good argument, right? It's such a stupid thing to say. Translation is, if I can't figure out how there can be an all-loving God and people can suffer, if I can't figure out how to reconcile these two things, it can't be true. In other words, if I'm ignorant, then it must be false. It's such a stupid thing. There's so many things that we can't work out. Does that automatically mean there's no answer? Or does it just mean that I can't figure out the answer? But in the Kali Yuga, people will say things with such false confidence. And if everyone's kind of taken aback. It's a trick that people use in arguments. If you say something very strongly, the hope is that it will shock people, and therefore it will temporarily switch off their intelligence, and therefore they won't be able to realize that what you've said is just incredibly stupid. Yeah. This is Kali Yuga. Welcome. So in the purport, Prabhupada is also talking about this Prema Vilas Vivata, and in the next few verses, it's very, very interesting. It's explaining that so Radha Rani, she is in this state where she's absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and therefore she's embracing this Tamal tree, and she's speaking to the tree, right? So she's completely absorbed. This absorption is our goal. This absorption is like a fire that burns to ashes all the impurities. Right, within the heart. So we're not just trying to practice Krishna consciousness, we're trying to invoke Krishna consciousness. And how is this absorption invoked? Shraddha, Virya, Smriti. Yoga Sutras, Patanjali. Right? This one verse, Shraddha, Virya, Smriti. Shraddha, faith, it brings this Virya, this drive, this determination, it brings Smriti. Great concentration that leads to absorption. So how does this work? As we read and as we hear, we're meant to do certain things, right? We want to hear, and these are two things that give taste for hearing, by the way. One is to hear from great devotees. So whenever we hear from Prabhupada, the exalted Vaishnavas in our movement, and the Mahatsevaya, and engaging in service to such devotees, then one develops Kataruchi, one develops a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. There's a very wonderful but subtle tipping point. In the beginning, we may think that Krishna consciousness is something to be achieved. But as we become more purified, we will understand that Krishna consciousness is something to be received. Our job is we have to come to the point that we have to cry for Krishna. That's what we're trying to do. But in a very genuine way. In a very genuine way. And this comes as we develop humility. And this humility comes as we actually understand our really unfortunate position in this material world. In this material world, everyone is trying to find happiness in a place where it does not exist. And it doesn't matter how much searching goes on in the material arena, you will find that even the so-called very thing that materially gives you so-called some relief in the beginning, it will be the same cause of some real disappointment later on. Unless we actually have a higher aim. And that higher aim is to recognize that we've been touched by something which is absolutely priceless. And as we start to detach. So think of the living entity like a puppet who's attached to these strings, which are the modes of material nature. So we're being played by Maya. And as we engage in the process, we suddenly break some of these bonds. You start to feel over time, wow, there's a little bit of relief, there's a little bit of freedom. And we know these different experiences, kleshak nishupada. As we practice the process, we start to experience auspiciousness, some relief from suffering, so many things. And we start to see, actually, I was just under the control of the material energy. We start to feel some freedom. And in that freedom, we start to see that actually our real self-interest and our real happiness, it only lies in one place. This is the point. That the real happiness only lies in one place. We've been touched by something extremely priceless. But to receive it fully, we have to beg. No amount of my own effort will force myself into the spiritual world. What I'm trying to do is to receive the mercy of such devotees who are on that platform and by their grace. So effort is required, but it's the effort in pursuance of mercy. You see? That is what we're trying to do. It is effort in pursuance of mercy. So being lazy doesn't work, right? But also being proud in the idea that I can enter into the spiritual platform by my own strength, that also doesn't work. And actually, the other thing is, not only does it not work, it's not as sweet. Because our whole process is not an impersonal process. Our process is laced with affection. What is more affectionate than understanding that the Supreme Lordships, their Supreme Lordships, Radha Gokula Nanda, they're making very sweet personal arrangements for you as a specific individual to come back. And that it is all being orchestrated by their loving associates who are reaching out to you through these books, through the pastimes, through the chanting of the holy names. How much sweeter that is. Yeah? Because this faith, faith in its completely manifest form, this faith is actually love. How am I able to depend on, what is faith? Faith is, I have some ability to depend on something. And how am I able to depend on something? In the ultimate sense, I'm only able to depend on something if I truly accept that whatever I'm depending on actually has love for me. So our process, from the moment we come into contact with this teaching, with Srila Prabhupada's books, we're entering into a loving coalition. If we have the eyes to see, and if we have the heart to accept. So throughout this entire journey, the basis is love, the means is love, and the end is also that same love in its pure and unadulterated form, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why the loving association of the Vaishnavas is absolutely essential. The devotees are the people who can help us the most. And of course, there's another side to this. Those same devotees are also those who can hurt us the most if we do not interact properly. So as we are learning to associate properly, which is an art in itself, as we are learning to associate properly, we're also learning to make progress. What does it mean to associate properly with devotees? It actually means Trinada Pisunicha no, Taro Apisahisnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. It means that every single devotee, every single living entity actually is Prabhu. And it means that I am that particular living entity's servant. But I serve according to the truth. Okay, and this is a very, very important point. So there's one quality, but that same one quality or value expresses itself in different ways. So some kind of leaning towards another person in ignorance is called sentimentality. When that leaning towards another person is in passion, it's called attachment. Okay? So sentimentality means I have a leaning towards you, but it's completely without any truthful understanding. That's sentimental. And it will lead to some kind of negative outcomes, by the way. Sometimes in Kali Yuga, we confuse ignorance with goodness. And then we get stung. Has that ever happened to anyone in this room by any chance? Okay. You don't have to put your hands up to that one. I think everyone's hand will go up. So that same leaning towards another person in passion is called attachment. But that's more dependence. I'm attached to you because of what you do for me. Okay? So it's still selfish. I want something. I need you because of what you give me. That same leaning towards another person in goodness is affection. Right? So we have affection. Now, we want to go beyond that. We want to have that same leaning towards Krishna. On this Shuddha Sattva platform that Prabhupada is speaking about in this particular purport, that's prema. And you'll find as we go throughout any of these, any quality, you can see its manifestation in different modes. Yeah? And its ultimate and pure and original manifestation is there on the platform of Vishuddha or Shuddha Sattva. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they will therefore say that this material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual platform. Because what you find here in its crooked form, you find there without any kind of crookedness or distortion. Yeah, that's how it works. That's how our process works. It is the vision to see our true self-interest, and it is the strength to pursue it. Yeah, the vision to see what's in our true self-interest, and the strength of heart. The strength of heart in order to continue to pursue that self-interest as well. So if we follow this properly, then there are also symptoms. Yasya lakshanam proktam. Things are understood by their symptoms. This is mentioned, Narada Muni will mention this in the 7th canto Bhagavatam. So what are the symptoms that we look for? What are the symptoms of progress? In other words, let me throw this out to you. How do you know that you're progressing in your spiritual life? I'd just like a few people to raise their hands and just let me know. What are some signs that we should be looking for to see? Yes, at the back, Prabhu. Okay, absolutely. Rasavajamasopyasya pramdrisvanivatate. That if I'm finding that there's actually a taste, right, an increasing taste for the practices, the activities, increasing taste in the service of Krishna consciousness, absolutely, because the living entity is Ananda Maya Vyasat. We have to have some kind of ruchi. There has to be some type of pleasure. And that's why actually one interesting point on this. It is upon us to engage in our spiritual life in a way that keeps us inspired. Yeah? There's many ways in which we can engage in spiritual life. Because our process is personal, our application is also meant to be personal. Right? For example, some devotees, to really get into the chanting, they like to say some prayers before they chant. Another devotee may like to read something about the holy name before they chant. Another devotee may have a different way of entering into that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the techniques he gives for chanting, he says you can blindfold yourself, right, before you chant, which I think is a great idea, actually, personally, because I know how distracted I get. He says you can blindfold yourself before you're chanting. But whatever works for you, you see? So there's two things. It's what we do, and it's how we do. It's very interesting. In this series of verses, so the goal is established, and then as they're speaking further, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will tell Ramananda Roy, now that you've established the goal, now tell me about the process. It's a very interesting sequence of events, because everything in the teachings has meaning. Yeah? Please do never think that anything is incidental. Every single verse is pregnant with meaning. Every single verse is pregnant with meaning. The sequence of verses, pregnant with meaning. The detail, pregnant with meaning. Right? The pastimes will have many, many layers of meaning. It is so full that it will take, I mean, you could unpack these for lifetimes and never come to an end. So, anyway, the process should be personalized. The goal is to chant purely. Okay, the how. How will I become able to chant purely based upon how crazy and the particular type of craziness or insanity that's there with my mind? Yeah. So we should study Prabhupada's books. Okay, another particular goal. What's the best way for me to study Prabhupada's books that keeps my mind in contact, my intelligence in contact, and therefore purified? Yeah. There are so many different services to do. Right? How can I serve in such a way that I really become infused, inspired, and strong in my service? So this is what we're trying to do in Krishna consciousness. We want to personalize the process. Yeah? It's not a question of just copying people. It's not a question of just copying other devotees. It's a question of really personalizing this to really make it... to make our heart one with the process. What else can we do, or how else can we see that we're progressing? Yes. Absolutely. And Prabhupada, he will state that actually in more than one place, that one has to have a certain distaste. And it's not a false thing. Actually, with knowledge, that's automatic. Right? When we see the material energy for what it is, it's kind of like, well, you could do that, but you're going to get entangled, and it will lead to these other issues. See, this is the difficulty with the material world. People do something thinking that they're going to make it's going to make them happy, but it leads to so many other issues. And you can't avoid it, by the way, because the material world is designed like that. It's like someone who's in prison, and they're calling the prison guards, and it's like, you know, excuse me, I think there's an issue here. My door just seems to be a bit jammed, right? And the food, I didn't see a menu. You know, like, over the last few days, I just keep getting porridge. Like a bit of variety here, you know? It's not an accident. Yeah. It's not an accident. That door that you think is jammed, it's locked. It's not jammed. There's not some kind of issue. Yeah. It's designed like that. Yeah? That's the whole point. It's designed like that. But through this process of Krishna consciousness, we can get paroled. Right? There's an entire reality outside of these you know, three dimensions. In fact, even as we progress, one can start to get glimpses of another reality. Yeah? There's so much to this statement by Prabhupada. So much to this statement. The spiritual senses are beyond the material senses. The materialists can think only of the negation of material variety. And then he'll talk about being purified, or the senses being completely purified by the bhakti process. Even in the beginning stages, because there are actually so many more dimensions to reality, as we purify the senses, those other dimensions become more and more perceivable. Absolutely true, right? Even before we come to the platform of pure love of Godhead, as we purify the senses, so much more is to be seen. So much more is actually going on. And of course, irrespective of our trying to raise ourselves by the purification, there are always the pure devotees who are looking with compassion upon the living entities. This is the beauty of our process. No one engages in Krishna consciousness alone. In every time, in every place, in every circumstance, Krishna is there. And not only is Krishna there, because Krishna himself is never alone. So when Krishna is present, he's present with all of his associates as well. It is such an esoteric and beautiful process. So we're never alone, but we have to learn to take advantage of that association. And there are many ways in which we can tune ourselves in. When we read about such great devotees, when we read about Prabhupada, when we read about the great acharyas, their mercy becomes more accessible. And they still exist. They still exist. And also, the great acharyas, they watch over their own movement. Right? It is actually the great acharyas, they move the movement. We can be used as an instrument, but Srila Prabhupada, well, there's that famous, well, not famous necessarily, but someone asked Prabhupada, you know, will this movement continue on when you're gone through your disciples? He said, it will continue in spite of my disciples. Prabhupada has a beautiful sense of humor. And that means in spite of all of the followers, in spite of all of us, because it is transcendentally protected. It is transcendentally protected, but we do want to get the mercy. We do want to be the instrument of Krishna and Prabhupada's own compassion. Yeah. And so the more that we engage in this process, the more we make progress, the more that we come to that platform. Anything else that you are conscious of that indicates that we are progressing in spiritual life? Any other ideas or any other understanding? Yes. Yes, yes. Artha and anatta. Artha means wanted. Anatta means that which is unwanted. It's very interesting. In some senses, there are no bad qualities. In some senses, there is just the wrong expression of a particular quality. Again, so someone has an issue with, let's say, anger. Let's say aggression, right? That same quality of aggression in goodness, it's strength of character. is strong. In passion, it's aggression. In ignorance, it's like over-submission. You see? So what happens is as we develop or raise our consciousness, then you get the healthy expression of that same quality as it becomes purified. They asked Srila Prabhupada, when we look at the qualities of a pure devotee, are the external qualities of such a devotee, are they externally in goodness? Prabhupada said yes. He said, great devotees, externally the qualities look like the qualities of the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada says, he said, but the difference is they are not attached to those particular qualities. And that's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text number 22 to 25. It's that sense of detachment. So qualities are there, but the pure devotee, he's not attached to any of the particular modes. He's doing whatever he needs to do as he needs to do it. He's completely free to come and go as he wishes. In other words, he may visit the prison, but he's not a prisoner. Yeah? And that's what Srila Prabhupada has done. He came to visit the prison, but he's not a prisoner. Prabhupada went to one place, it may have even been a nudist colony. Think about that. You know, you have someone from the spiritual world, he's gone to a nudist colony and he's preaching to the people. I believe, whether it was a nudist colony or not, he encountered one person, and the person said to Prabhupada, I am God. And what did Prabhupada do? He immediately came to the, put his head down to the floor, said, please accept my humble obeisances. And then he preached to him, and that person became a devotee. Yeah. See, such a quality of humility. And where is that humility coming from? This is the beautiful thing about Krishna consciousness. It reconciles all contradictions. A devotee is becoming more Krishna conscious, so they experience more of Krishna's love and presence. Because they experience more of Krishna's love and presence, they feel small and insignificant. So they feel humble. But it doesn't stop there. Because they feel they experience more of Krishna's love and presence, they feel very hopeful at the same time. Why? Because it's that same person who's so great who's calling me, who's encouraging me, and who's going to help me to be successful in attaining him. So they're humble, they're also hopeful, but there's another quality as well. They're very strong or confident. Why? Because it's that same Krishna who's backing me up in everything I do as long as I'm following him properly. So just by that coming closer to Krishna, humility, hope, confidence, strength, all of these things are invoked simultaneously from the same source. From the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Prabhupada, they asked Prabhupada, why do you walk with your head held high? He said, because no one can defeat me. It's a beautiful statement, right? And it's true. It's true. No one can defeat him. And he's fully aware of it. Maybe one more point and then we'll stop for questions. Prabhupada will state here, a person who identifies with his material body cannot understand these talks between Srila Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very, very interesting point. We have a choice what we identify with. But there are consequences of identity. However we identify, that will force us into a certain set of activities that relate to that identity. Okay? So the more I consider myself the body, the more I will be forced to engage in bodily activities, material activities. There'll be no way around it. Because the identity is the precursor of activity. Yeah? Again, everything will have its symptoms. This is how everything works in the material world. Everything has its symptoms. So sometimes people think it's not a big deal to identify with the body, but it means it will cause so much more suffering. Although the physical body may grow old and go through transformations, if we really start to accept that I am a servant of Krishna, if we cultivate that kind of understanding, over time it will blossom and deepen. Our spiritual practices, instead of watering weeds, it will water that same spiritual identity, which in the beginning stages is a general seed. And just like you have any seeds, when you look at seeds, they look quite generic. But you don't. But when you start to water them, then they become something very specific and personal. Make sense? So in the same way, in the beginning stages, and you'll see this pattern throughout our teachings, some very general understanding, we're a servant of Krishna. And as that seed becomes watered, eventually it will be a very specific understanding of the specific servant of Krishna that we are. Right? It will go from a general understanding, okay, we have a relationship with Krishna, very general. And it will become specific. This is a particular relationship we have with Krishna. And that progression from the general to the specific, that's called personalism. So when Prabhupada talks about impersonalism, there's so much more dimension to this than people immediately understand. So we have a great journey that we are on. And we have a great gift that we are meant to unpack. And every day is an opportunity to really taste the grace that we've been offered from the very first day that we came into this movement. So we want to encourage each other with this understanding, by the way, with an understanding that I have a very clear understanding. This is where I'm meant to be going. Okay? And it's so beautiful. Why this specific understanding of where I'm meant to be going? Because if you have a very clear understanding of where you're meant to be going, the material world will not haunt you so much. Right? We get caught up in such a petty dynamics of this material world because we've lost sight of where we're going and what the goal is. So this very understanding the very wonderful and beautiful goal, it will put all the difficulties of the material world in context. Right? It will put every single thing in context. It will turn the things which disturb or distort the mind, it will tone down the volume. It will mute the material world. Right? It will mute the Maya. Okay, we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Okay, do we have time? We have time. So any comments or questions, please? Yes, I saw this hand first. Do we have to... Can we pass the mic?
Hare Krishna. Thanks so much for your class, Guru. I just had a question because you spoke a lot about the three modes. So I think as devotees, a lot of times, or sometimes, we can confuse passion as transcendental passion. So I want to hear your point on how can we make sure we're not confusing that, because from my understanding, we need to rise to goodness first and transcend, to use transcendental passion. So how can we make sure we're not confusing them, and how can we make sure we're actually rising to goodness to then transcend?
Yeah, so that's the simple way of looking at it is if we still have material attachments, then the passion is not fully transcendental. Yeah. So it'll mean that it'll be more rajagun rather than transcendence. But at the same time, and this is again why the process is so, the guidance is so significant. See, you have to, whatever's there, you have to elevate it. So, for example, when we have a young body, there's so much energy and passion in the body. Just telling the person to just sit down and be quiet is not going to work. Right? There has to be an outlet or a healthy spiritual engagement for what's already there. And in that way, it becomes elevated. So through expert guidance, we learn to channel that which is already there and engage it in Krishna's service. I remember I was in Gita Nagari in 2005, and we were in the temple room, and I was standing at the back of the room, and I was speaking with His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj, and he told me, he said, Bhuta Bhavana, he said, your body has a lot of energy, so you have to always keep busy. That's what he told me. It's not got a lot of energy now, but it had a lot of energy then. So anyway, that point is like that. You want to engage everything that's there because it doesn't belong to us. So that's the understanding. But we engage it favorably in order to make progress. There's an implicit understanding. For example, I'll just tell this honestly. So I was in America recently. There was a retreat. And, you know, I was just looking at there were young people there and they were attending. And I was thinking, you know, some of them were quite disengaged, you know. And I was thinking, what happened? How is that possible? And it became very obvious. Sometimes they had very well-intentioned seniors, but the seniors were trying to force them to be Krishna conscious, you know? And then what was happening as a result is many of them couldn't wait to get away from their seniors, right? Because it's not something, you can't make someone a devotee by force. Because it's an affair of the heart. They have to actually want to be Krishna conscious. So one of the things I was seeing is that, the mistake was, what should have happened is those seniors should have been trying to inspire those youth in Krishna consciousness. If you show them the actual nature of it, how much it has to offer, and if it's presented to them in a way that's according to where they are in the journey, then it naturally, because it's all attractive, the process is non-different from Krishna. The process itself is all attractive, if it's understood and engaged in properly. So I was seeing that the mistake was, these people are trying to force Krishna consciousness on those youth. They're not presenting it properly according to the nature of that particular audience, which is exactly what Prabhupada says should be done. He mentions that directly, first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 4, text number 1 in the purport. He says it has to be presented according to the particular audience. He says, this is called realization. And as a result of it not being presented properly to that particular audience, some of them they were born in the movement and they're not sure if they believe in Krishna. I was like, really? It's that bad, you know? Anyway, it's often because we don't know how to apply it. Yeah. But to your point, it's a question of just knowing the qualities to understand where we are in the journey, knowing the qualities in terms of what the process is and what should be done and what should be emphasized at different stages, and also knowing the qualities of the audience in order to see how to present it in a way that's meaningful according to that audience. And Prabhupada will do that time and again. Bhaktivedanta Institute, he's preaching to scientists. It's a certain type of presentation. In fact, it's very interesting. Prabhupada would tell His Holiness Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj, you know, whatever you need in order to do this preaching, we will fund it. That's how much he considered this to be important. Preaching to the students, what did Prabhupada tell his disciples? Don't go to the universities telling them that this Krishna consciousness is all rules and regulations. He said, explain to them that this is a higher philosophy. So that differentiation is important. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, I saw at the back, and then we'll come over. It's a little bit late, but we'll come over soon.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. You were mentioning that we're supposed to be always thinking that we're servants every day, just embedding it in, and from that, there will be a change also.
Yes.
And then you mentioned also where every living entity is a Prabhu. I like that statement. It's very capturing.
Every living entity is a Prabhu except us.
Yeah, we're the servant of all the living entities. And I wanted to get some elaboration on how we can have that mood in a mature way.
And in a
mature way.
Yes.
Because we can get fanatical with that also. And then the importance of having that mood, if you can elaborate on that, please.
Yeah. So the way to have the mood in a mature way is it's always meant to be based upon the truth. You see, that's what keeps it mature. The moment we're trying to serve others, but not based upon the reality of the truth, what's going on with them and us, then it becomes either sentimental or something else. So, for example, you see someone who's not a devotee, then you know, I'm this particular person's servant, but I'm going to serve them according to what they need at this time. Therefore, it doesn't get sentimental, right? Therefore, you're not sharing their hamburger with them, for example, right? Because I'm their Prabhu, so you know, like that. That's not how it's done. What's the reality of their situation? Okay, so right now they are not conscious of their position as Krishna's servant. I'm their servant, so therefore my job in this case is to try to remind them in a way that's favorable for them who they actually are. This is some literature you can read. I go to the temple. Have you ever tried chanting? Right? So it's always got to be based upon a truthful understanding of what's actually going on. Otherwise, we do a disservice to them and also to ourselves, by the way. Yeah? And it happens, and that same understanding should be there even in the association of devotees. We serve them based upon the reality of the situation. Right? So, but that requires us to be able to understand who is before us. And that is a little bit of, that's a science, right? That requires knowledge. It requires humility, but not humility in a false way. Humility, Prabhupada will write in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, he says it means truthfulness. So if you're actually humble, okay, I can understand who I'm dealing with, I can understand where they are, therefore I'm going to interact with them in this way, which is favorable for both them and I. Yeah? And when we're able to do this consistently, that's the Madhyama platform. Right? That's one of the symptoms of the Madhyam Adhikari. They have the ability to evaluate and discriminate on the basis of the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and to act accordingly. So we get our fingers burnt sometimes in this movement because we're sentimental. And then, of course, the question will be, how did Krishna allow something to happen to such a good devotee as myself? Yeah. Yeah. It's not Krishna. It's us. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Okay. Can we pass the mic to this side, and maybe that, I think we're slightly over time. No, so it's not your fault, it's actually my fault. So if you take the question, and then maybe we'll end the plus. Is the mic working?
Thank you so much for that elaborate and wonderful class. I'm sorry that this is a bit off topic, but I just wanted to ask your views on the last part of this shloka where Mahaprabhu's putting his hands on. And he's telling him, don't. So are there certain topics that we don't talk about, and why? And what is the way to avoid then going somewhere else to hear those topics? Because I've had conversations with devotees where they're like, well, Prabhupada didn't give us everything. So there's this idea that there might be something higher somewhere else.
Yeah.
And why did Mahaprabhu then tell him to?
Good question. So there's a few things to point out here. First of all, if anyone says Prabhupada didn't give us everything, the best advice to tell them is to read his books. And if they tell you that I've read his books, tell them, try and do it with your eyes open. Yeah. It'll help. It'll enhance the experience. So the point is, it's never the case of Prabhupada. I mean, so anyway, I wasn't going to get into so much, but since you've asked about it, so.
Well, I was really excited about this person.
Yeah. Well, so it's, anyway, because, yeah, there's a few things. Going back to what we said at the beginning, first deserve and then desire. There's different ways in which hearing takes place. So what's actually happening here is we come to know something about Radha and Krishna, but we're doing it through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies, and this is exactly why he's put his hand over Ramananda Roy's mouth. It's stated directly in this verse, out of the ecstasy of love of Godhead, right? So again, it says, saying this, Ramananda Roy began to sing a song he had composed, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of the ecstasy of love of Godhead, immediately covered Ramananda's mouth with his own hand. I'm watching these memories of Prabhupada, and there's one pastime where one of Prabhupada's disciples, they all ask Prabhupada about something that's quite esoteric. And Prabhupada, he just tells the person, it's not for you. I mean, he really shuts him down. And Prabhupada says, not, he basically tells him, at your stage, don't worry about this. You know, don't. But at the same time, at a certain level of adhikar, one can enter into certain understanding. One can look more deeply at, let's say, more confidential aspects of the teachings. But this is what we were trying to say again. It's a question of adhikar. So what happens is, if you look at Prabhupada's lectures, generally in the public lecture, he preaches for the baseline level. You see? There's a difficulty that sometimes, to be very honest, out of a desire to present oneself as more exalted, sometimes people will get into confidential topics just because, look everyone, I know lots of confidential stuff, right? And that's unhealthy. In fact, it's a form of cheating. At the same time, there are deeper and deeper aspects of Krishna consciousness, and it is what Prabhupada is meant to give. So as someone becomes, let's say, qualified and inspired to understand more and more deeply, let's say deeper aspects of the teaching, they should get permission from their own seniors. That's one aspect. They should get an understanding of what is healthy for them at their stage in Krishna consciousness as well. You see? And if a person feels that I can't do that, that in itself is a lack of qualification. Right? And my own spiritual master, he would mention this on more than one occasion, although I never understood it properly. He said there are certain aspects of Krishna consciousness that we can't enter into alone. Yeah, he said, we have to, and it's not even just guidance; it's also blessings. Right, in order to understand, and Prabhupada will make that point in the first canto, chapter 19, text number 12, that you get permission and blessings for every major aspect of your spiritual life. He said this makes the matter perfect. So sometimes it's the case that people are in touch with other Gaudiya Vaishnava groups, who they may think are more esoteric or etc. etc. But the question is, okay, let's say that person has some interest, but you can't even chant 16 rounds attentively, right? So let's think about that. Or they have that, but there's so much mundane material attraction. Now, that means that they need guidance. It's not just how I feel like. You have to actually get guidance. I was on a conversation yesterday with one devotee friend of mine, and he was just sharing some experiences he was having in Krishna consciousness, which are very, very wonderful. And he then told me that he'd spoken to his spiritual master. He told his spiritual master what he was experiencing. His spiritual master had given him very specific guidance about how to navigate and going forward. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly correct, because he's sincere. It's not an ego thing. Yeah. And so sometimes that just for some foolish reason, out of ego, it's just like I'm more esoteric than you are. Yeah, seriously, it's a competition like that. But you know, the funny thing is, the real understanding of qualification to enter into deeper aspects of Krishna consciousness is one of the abiding qualifications across that platform is humility. You see, real humility. So someone who's seemingly talking very, very high, but in the mood of pride and showing off, immediately that's a problem. Right? There are always qualifications to everything. So even if one is feeling that particular interest and one has got adhikar and one has got qualification and one is moving in that direction, it should be done under guidance. And if I'm really selfless and a servant, it's not that wherever I am, I push it on everyone else. Wherever I am, that's mercy. It's not because of me, it's mercy. And when I'm dealing with the association of devotees, I'm still rooted in service to them. And rooted in service to them means I will present the teachings according to where they are for their progression. It won't be done, it won't be a premature thing. Okay? So, anyway, yeah. Does that in some way answer your question? Yeah. Okay. But it is a reality that Prabhupada has given everything, more than. And you'll see in the writings of Prabhupada's followers, increasingly over the years, you'll see them start to bring all of this to the fore as well. So I was, one devotee friend of mine, he was just talking about how Shiv Ramaraj, his next book, is called Vilap Kusumanjali. And it's bringing up a huge treasure of deep understanding and insight into various aspects of Krishna consciousness, let's say. So all of these things are there, and it can be seen with extensive study of Prabhupada's books and his conversations. I've seen them. These statements are there, and they're explained. But what happens is often you have to piece all the pieces together. So it's like a jigsaw puzzle. And also what happens is, because Prabhupada is such a genius, he will write something which has one meaning to the Kanishtha Adhikari. The same statement will mean something else to the Madhyama Adhikari, and to the Uttama Adhikari, it will have a different meaning again. So again, it will hone in from a general meaning, because it can be used generally, and it will come to the point where that same thing has a very specific meaning in relation to these higher topics. So Satchananda Maharaj gives the example. It's like, as you go through Krishna consciousness, it's like this. You'll meet the same conception, but at a higher stage, right? And there'll be a higher understanding. For example, swajati means like-minded. So in our conditioned state, one may think someone's like-minded because we both are interested in the same aspects of Krishna consciousness in the general sense. But in the higher sense, swajati will mean we have the same rasa in the spiritual world. Yep. So it's the same conception, but it has a higher order meaning or a lower order meaning. Yeah? Okay. Anyway, thank you very much. Right. Okay. So we'll stop here. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.